That's goosebump stuff. All right. Well, we're going to continue our series, part three today, Living Supernaturally. Anybody had a just living supernaturally this week? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody living supernaturally? One person, two people. All right. All right. So the rest of us got a ways to go, don't we? Yes, we do. It's a good thing we're doing this series. We'd all be in trouble. Well, last week, what I tried to do was help us understand that the Holy Spirit is a person. And a person with whom we can be in relationship. That was the focus of what we were working on. Today, we're going to begin, that's kind of who the Holy Spirit is. Today, more about what he does, kind of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he's doing in the world, what he does in the local church, what he does in the hearts and lives of individual believers. All right. So we're going to take a look. Well, before I get too far, just some examples of things that we're going to eventually talk about. The Holy Spirit draws us to Christ. We read that in Scripture. Draws us to faith. He comforts us. He guides us. He teaches us, corrects us, strengthens us, encourages us. A lot of things that the Holy Spirit does. What we're going to focus on today is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, even hearing that, some of you may be thinking, wow, that's a rather controversial topic. And sadly, in the church, over the last 80 to 100 years, it has been. There have been a lot of differences of opinion, a lot of different thoughts and perspectives on what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some churches ignore the topic altogether. You don't really ever hear this discussed. In other churches, they say, well, the only legitimate, the only real filling of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by speaking in tongues. There are some churches that say that. That's the only way that it works. Others say a little bit different. They pay attention to this, as we are. But we're also going to say, look, we don't necessarily say that it has to be accompanied by speaking in tongues. It might be. It is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, not everyone has to have it as a mandate, you might say. Now, in the midst of this discussion, if we're not careful, because it is sort of controversial, we can just ignore the subject altogether. We can just kind of pretend like this doesn't really matter. This is not something we need to focus on or be concerned about. I have a problem with that. I do. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, very real, wants to be involved in our lives. It is personal. Let's just not prescribe how that should happen. And I have it on your teaching outline. Here's my approach on this. Rather than having an expectation for how the Holy Spirit should fill us, let's simply allow the Holy Spirit to decide how he wants to fill us. What do you think? Does that make sense? It makes sense to me. Let's not prescribe it. Let's just allow God to do what he wants to do. Because the more important thing is that we are filled. That's the issue. One author has said, the church without the Holy Spirit is just another nonprofit organization. Just another charitable organization. That's it. And as I read that and began to think about that more carefully, I thought, wow, you know, that's true. That's true. The church without the Holy Spirit is just another charitable organization. That's it. That's it. If we're going to be the church that God dreams for us to be and the church that people need us to be, then we have got to be Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit guided, Holy Spirit strengthened, Holy Spirit protected, all of those things kind of people, if that's what we're going to do. And I pray that we are and that we will be. Now, next, I want to talk briefly about our preparation for being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an established order that we have to acknowledge. This is also on your outline. Before we can be Spirit-filled, we need to be Spirit-born. What do I mean by that? Jesus actually described this for us in John 3. I'm only reading the first three verses. Just make yourself a note. Try to look at the entire chapter. The very most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, is in the context of this that we're talking about. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." That has to precede being spirit-filled, spirit-born. Now, being born again, as it is described here, is not just simply confessing our sins and being forgiven and being a part of God's family. It's bigger than that. It goes beyond that. One of the things that we want to acknowledge is that it includes living completely for God. Okay? Every area of our life is turned over to His direction, to His control, if you will. Every day of our lives, every area of our lives is completely lived for God. It, being born again does not include confessing some sins to God and kind of hanging on to others. That's not what this is about. It is about a complete change from the inside out in how I live my life. And this is on your outline. Someone choosing to live a part-time godly life is not ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some folks are content to have just what I call kind of like a fire insurance policy. I have to do this in order for me not to go to hell. That's kind of how some folks get kind of caught looking at this thing. But it's bigger than that. It's a whole lot more. If you want to have a supernatural life, then you have to give all of your life over to the person of the Holy Spirit and live a full-time godly life. Now, Paul is writing about our theme today, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, I'll begin reading at verse 1. "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children." In fact, Pastor Dan, I think, no, that you were in chapter 1, weren't you? Yeah, from the same letter. "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater." In other words, worshiping the things of this world. "Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, and now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces what? Only what is good and right and true." Now, at the conclusion of our teaching today, we're going to have an opportunity. This is on your teaching outline. If anybody did not get an outline and would like one, actually, I forgot to ask about that. Does anyone not have an outline that would like one? Okay, everybody's got one that wants one. Okay, good. Because at the end of this, I have a prayer that I've printed out as just a help. It's not something that you have to use, but it's available if you'd like to use it, to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But as you can see in what Paul's just written here, we have to make sure that sin is cleaned out first. And that's not, again, something we can accomplish on our own, but we have to ask for it. We have to say, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins. And I'm putting them all out there. When I do that, then we're ready to live a full-time faith, no part-time Christianity." All right, now, let's pick up with verse 15 of this same chapter. "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools." And in this context, a fool is someone who's easily tripped up by sin. Involved in the word is the word seduction, easily seduced by sin. So don't live like that, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul is trying to make the point here in these verses. Instead of living like a fool, All right? Instead of acting thoughtlessly, instead of being drunk, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Going back to this other section here, just for a moment, verses 8 and 9, for once you, it says, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord, okay? So the Holy Spirit, this is on your outline, the Holy Spirit is the power source for the light within us. If there's going to be good and right and true, as we saw in verse 9, if those things are going to be present in our lives, then we have to be full of the Holy Spirit. And the extent to which the Holy Spirit fills us is the extent to which that light shines in our lives. And the light of Christ, the life of Christ becomes visible in us so that it can become visible through us. So Paul's saying, okay, once you were full of darkness, now be full of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide, be the director of your life. Don't let darkness, don't let sin dominate and direct your life. Don't let that happen. Go the opposite direction. Let the Holy Spirit fill you, guide you, and so forth. So what we can see from Paul's writings, and the next one on your fill in the blank there, is being full of the Holy Spirit is God's will for us. He would not command us in verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't his will. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, it does. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's his will. Now, I point that out because in an earlier series, we did on the book of 1 John. Remember that? Sticking with Jesus. We read this verse. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That is important, because when we ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, we know it's his will. Therefore, we can have confidence that he is going to respond to that prayer. It's not something, well, Lord, I don't know if this is what you want or not. We don't have to go there. We know without a shadow of a doubt, this is exactly God's will for us. And so again, on your outline, we can come to God with confidence, and we also come by faith. Galatians 3:14, through the work of Jesus Christ, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's us, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, and we Christians receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. All right? We know it's God's will. We can be confident that when we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that it is God's will, and he will answer that prayer. We receive that by faith. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about the blessings. This is on your outline, the blessings associated with being full of the Holy Spirit. The first one is found, I'll just give you the answer first. We have the privilege and the joy of joining with God in the work he's doing in this world. And that's from John 14:12. I tell you the truth, these are words of Jesus. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. So Jesus is making it clear. God's been at work in the world. He began at the very beginning of human history. He has been working in the world. He worked through all the people that we know in the Old Testament, all those stories, worked through Moses and Elisha and David and all those folks. He worked through all those people. Then Jesus came as the visible manifestation of God. He worked through Jesus. Jesus is saying, okay, now I'm going to leave the earth, and you folks are going to keep doing the work that God's been at all this time. You're going to keep at it. And so we have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit in order to join in with the work that God is doing. For example, where injustice still rules, we need to bring, again, by the person of the Holy Spirit, the power, the wisdom, the direction of the Holy Spirit, we need to bring the right rule of God to bear in those situations. Where there is heartache, we need to bring healing and hope. Where there's sadness, we need to bring joy. Where there are lost people, we need to bring the gospel itself. Where there's emptiness, we need to bring purpose. Where there's darkness, light. We need the Holy Spirit to do those things. A second blessing is that we receive power to boldly share the good news. Acts 1 verse 8, but when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, in other words, filled you, you will receive power and will do what? And will tell people about me everywhere. And then again in Acts, just a little bit later, chapter 4, verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and did what? And spoke the word of God boldly. Boldly. Yeah. As I said recently, most Christians go to their grave without ever boldly sharing the word of God with somebody else. Most Christians do. We're scared. We're intimidated. We don't need to be. If we have received the filling, if we have genuinely received, if we've opened ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we will speak the word of God boldly. That is an evidence, and it's a blessing of being filled by the Holy Spirit. There was an example. I talked about Philip last week in Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And I would encourage you to go back and read the story. I don't want to take the time to do it right now, but it's just a wonderful story of someone who was full of the Holy Spirit, listening to the work, to the voice of God, to do the work of God. God says, I want you to go talk to this guy. And so he comes up along the carriage and he hears the man reading and, He can sense that the person's a little bit confused about what's going on. And so God just gives him an opportunity to boldly share the word. And the man became a follower of Jesus Christ and was baptized. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Just amazing. Verse 35 there, chapter 8. So beginning with the same scripture, the one that he was looking at in Isaiah, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And again, the result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Philip was acting on the voice of the Lord to do what he was doing. So we will have the courage. We will have the strength. In fact, I don't have this on here, but there was another time where the Holy Spirit said, look, don't even worry about what you're going to say, really, because I will even give you the words to say. Now, I would caution us to just sort of take that as, I don't have to prepare and do anything. I think it is wise to know the Word of God so that God can use that as you happen to step alongside someone. And Philip wasn't unprepared there. He knew the Scriptures. He was able to explain that. So I think we need to do some preparation, but we also need to know that we can be confident. If we're obedient, God will give us the words to use. And then a third blessing is that we receive gifts to use in kingdom service. Paul wrote this also to the Corinthians. He said, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Now, God has a blueprint, and I was excited about how the Lord revealed that to me this week. It's like an organic kind of blueprint. In other words, God has this idea of how a local church should function. And the blueprint is worked off of the folks that are there. But when someone new steps into the picture, the blueprint changes. So it's a living, it's a dynamic, organic kind of blueprint. And so when somebody else walks in and becomes and says, look, I'm going to kind of put down some spiritual roots here. This is going to be the congregation that I kind of live with and serve with and so forth. God says, oh, okay, all right. We can change the configuration a little bit. Now Lake Palms Community Church can add this to what they do. Isn't that neat? The Holy Spirit fills us, allows us to be connected to a church, and then we get to add something new to the work of God in this neighborhood. I think it is just very, very cool. The catch is we have to get off of our pew and get involved, right? We can't just kind of ride the bench. We have to get in the middle of the whole thing for this all to work out. All right, we're going to wrap up here. I want to ask a couple questions. First of all, are you ready to be completely done with sin in all areas of your life? Are you ready to be done with sin in all areas of your life? Think about that a moment. Are you tired of living in shame or fear or defeat? Those are some major discouragements that we can have in our lives. Are you ready to give God complete control of your life? That's not an easy one. Control because of how human beings have done it. And we've always messed this up. Whenever a human being tries to have control in another person's life, it's dysfunctional, it's toxic, it's messed up. And so we oftentimes, when we hear this stuff about the control of the Holy Spirit, the control of God in our lives, we bring to it that human stuff that's kind of been messed up. So why does God have to have control? The only way we can really ever be the fullness of God's potential, the fullness of His dream for us, is if we let Him have complete control. That's the only way it works. It's the only way it works. Do you truly desire to be full of the Holy Spirit and living an abundant life? You know, everybody wants the abundance, right? How many people want to just sort of give up and let God? That's a different issue. It's a different issue. I had a note. I forgot to talk to you guys about it. If you could find some instrumental music to just play, we're going to be using that for just a moment before we get to our closing prayer. On your outline, I have written out a prayer that I'm going to not prescribe to you, but just make available. If you say to yourself this morning, I'm ready for this. I want to give myself completely to God. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you have this as a guide if you would like to. If you want to use your own words, that's great too. I just think there's some neat things on here that kind of help work through that process. So before I close with prayer, before we have the worship team come up, do you have something? You can just go ahead and hit it. Go ahead, guys. And I'm just going to give you some privacy. You can bow your heads right where you're at. You can read through this. But I just want to encourage you. If you'd like to make this prayer yours today, please do that. Heavenly Father, thank you that we've had these moments, had a chance to open your word this morning and see it is your will for us that we be filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have an eager anticipation that being full of your Spirit, that our lives would reflect the light of Christ and the life of Christ. As we have been praying for our push campaign, Lord, you know the things that are on our heart. We believe they're on your heart too. And an effort to be that kind of church that has power, We know that we need you. We don't want to be just another nonprofit group. We want to be the alive church of Jesus Christ, making a difference in our world and in our neighborhood. Lord, give us those opportunities, we pray now. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Would you please stand as we sing our closing song?
I was thinking of a kind of a story as Pastor was preaching about this. I was thinking this week, when I was picking up our daughter Jillian from preschool, she had one bad note this week. And if you parents know that you know, you don't like getting bad notes from school. Being a teacher, it was doubly worse for me. But it just said that, you know, she was a little frustrated and didn't want to help pick up her area, her toys. And I got to thinking about that as Pastor was preaching, and I thought to myself, you know, there are times when I make messes in my life, and I just don't want to pick them up. I don't want to admit that I've made any mistakes. But with God, we have the ability to pick up and start all over again. But that's only possible if we're willing to give all of ourselves to God, and I think that we need to be mindful of that always. And so I was also thinking, you know, it'd be great to have this prayer on my mirror, on my refrigerator, or anywhere I go. That's a common place in my house, and be mindful of those questions. So we're going to close with, Lord, I give you me. And as we sing this song, just remember to think about the words and the meaning, how it applies to your life.
Those are powerful words. Lord, I give you me. That means all of me. That's the catch. That's really what's implied there. Not hold anything back. I'm going to take control of this, and God, you can have that. Yes, God, you can have everything. All of me. Receive this blessing. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. What's that? Real quickly. Yes.
Please, I just wanted to ask those who come during the week and use the space, close the curtains when you leave, and please close the double doors leading to the back. It's a fire code.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I also wanted to plead with those who bring the children into the nursery. There are beads all over the floor. It's like totally out of control in that nursery. And if children go in there, babies, there's the hazard of choking. So please keep an eye out for that.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
God bless you, too.
Put your hands together. Come on. Communication cards. Did we get our cards?
Yes, sir.
Oh, fantastic.